to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సభప్రభ నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా శివశక్త్యాయుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం న చేదేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
ఓం శ్రీ సాయిరామ్. My most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashanthinilayam, and with me Team Radio Sai Sunil welcoming you to this morning segment, Divine Glory on Radio Sai. Today in Divine Glory, I have lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by a conversation with Mr. Amar Vivek, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And in conversation with him is Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti. First, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account of the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanti Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead.
The Pandharpur Pleader. We shall close this chapter with a short story showing Baba's omniscience and is using it for correcting people and settling them on the right path. Once, a pleader from Pandharpur came to Shirdi, went to the masjid, saw Sai Baba, fell at his feet and without being asked, offered some dakshina and sat in a corner, eager to hear the talk that was going on. Then Baba turned his face towards him and said, "How cunning the people are. They fall at the feet, offer dakshina, but abuse behind the back. Is it not amazing?" This remark fitted the pleader and he had to wear it. No one understood the remark. The pleader grasped it but kept silent. When they returned to the wada, the pleader said to Kaka Sahib Dikshit, "What Baba remarked was perfectly right. It was aimed at me. It was a hint to me that I should not indulge in reviling or scandalizing others. When the sub-judge or munchif of Pandharpur, by name Mr. Nulkar, came and stayed here for the improvement of his health, a discussion about this matter was going on in the bar room at Pandharpur. It was said or discussed whether the ailment from which the sub-judge suffered were ever likely to be got rid of without medicines, or by merely going after Sai Baba, and whether it was proper for an educated man like the sub-judge to have recourse to such methods. the sub-judge was taken to task, he was criticized, as also Sai Baba. I also took part in this affair, and now Sai Baba showed the impropriety of my conduct. This is not a rebuke to me, but a favor, a lesson, that I should not indulge in any scandal or slander of others, and not interfere unnecessarily in others' affairs. Shirdi is about 100 kos away from Pandharpur. Still, Baba by his omniscience knew what transpired there in the bar room. The intervening places, rivers, jungles and mountains were no bar to his all-perceiving sight, and he could see or read the hearts of all, and there was nothing secret or veiled from him. Everything far or near was open and clear to him as broad as daylight. Let a man be far or near, he cannot avoid the all-pervading gaze of Sai Baba. From this incident, the pleader took the lesson that he should never speak ill of others or unnecessarily criticize. Thus, his evil tendency was completely got rid of and he was set on the right path. Though the story refers to a pleader, still it's applicable to all of us. All should therefore take this lesson to heart and benefit thereby. Sai Baba's greatness is unfathomable. So are his wonderful leelas. His life is also such, for he is a Parabrahma, Almighty God incarnate. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 22. Rescues from Serpent Bites. Bala Saheb Mirika, Bapu Saheb Bhuti, Amir Shakka, Himat Pant, Baba's opinion regarding killing of serpents. Preliminary. How to meditate on Baba? No one has been able to fathom the nature or the form of the Almighty. Even the Vedas and the thousand-tongued Shesha are not able to describe it fully. The devotees also cannot know, but only look at the form of the Lord, for they know that His feet are their only refuge. They know no other method of attaining the supreme goal of life except meditating on the holy feet. Himat Pant suggests an easy way of devotion and meditation as follows. As the dark fortnight of every month wears out gradually, the moonlight also wanes in the same degree, and on the new moon day, we do not see the moon at all. Therefore, when the bright fortnight begins, people are very anxious to see the moon. On the first day, the moon is not seen, and on the second day, she emerges as a thin crescent. Then the people are asked to see the moon through the opening between the two branches of a tree, and when they begin to see through this aperture eagerly, the distant small crescent of the moon comes to their sight. Following this instance, let us see Baba's form. Look at Baba's posture, how fine it is. He is sitting with his legs folded, the right leg held across the left knee. The fingers of his left hand are spread on the right foot. On the toe are spread his two fingers, the index and the middle one. By this posture, Baba seems to say, "If you want to see my true form, be egoless and most humble, and meditate on my toe through the opening between the index and middle fingers, and then you will be able to see my light." Now let us turn to Baba's life. Shirdi had become a place of pilgrimage on account of Baba's stay there. People from all quarters began to flock there, and both the rich and the poor began to be benefited in more ways than one. Who can describe Baba's boundless love and his wonderful knowledge and his all-pervasiveness? Blessed is he who could experience these. Sometimes Baba observed long silence, which was in a way his dissertation on Brahma. All other times he was pure consciousness, bliss incarnate, surrounded by his devotees. Sometimes he spoke in parables, and at other times indulged in wit and humor. At times he was quite calm, and at times he seemed enraged. Sometimes he gave his teachings in a nutshell. At other times he argued at length. Many a time he was very direct. In this way, he gave varied instructions to many according to their requirements. His life was therefore inscrutable, beyond the ken of our mind, intellect and speech. Our longing to see His face, to talk with Him and hear His leelas was never satisfied. Still, we were overflowing with joy. We can gauge the showers of rain, capture the wind in a leather bag, but who can measure His leelas? Now, we deal here with one aspect of them, namely, how He anticipated or forestalled the calamities of His devotees and warned them in time. Bala Sahib Mirikar, son of Sardar Kaka Sahib Mirikar, was Mamlakdar of Kopargaon. He was going on a tour to Chitali. On the way, he came to Shirdi to see Sai Baba. When he went to the masjid and prostrated himself before Baba, the usual conversation regarding health and other matters commenced when Baba sounded a note of warning. "Do you know our Dwaraka Mai?" As Bala Sahib did not understand, he kept quiet. Baba continued, "This is our Dwaraka Mai, where you are sitting. She wards off all dangers and anxieties of the children who sit on her lap. This Masjid Mai is very merciful. She is the merciful mother of the simple devotees, whom she will save in calamities. Once a person sits on her lap, all his troubles are over. He who rests in her shade gets bliss." Then Baba gave him Udi and placed his hand on his head. When Bala Sahib was about to depart, he once again said, "Do you know the Lamba Baba or serpent?" And then, closing the left fist, he brought it under the right elbow and moving his left arm like the hood of a serpent said, "He is so terrible. But what can he do to the children of Dwaraka Mai? When the Dwaraka Mai protects, what can the serpent do?" All who were present there were curious to know the meaning of all this and its reference to Mirikar, but none had the courage to ask Baba about this. Then Bala Sahib saluted Baba and left the masjid with Shama. Baba called Shama back and asked him to accompany Bala Sahib and enjoy the Chitali trip. Shama came to Bala Sahib and told him that he would go with him according to Baba's wish. Bala Sahib replied that he need not come, as it would be inconvenient. Shama returned to Baba and told him what Bala Sahib said to him. Baba said, "All right, do not go. We should mean well and do well. Whatever is destined to happen, will happen." In the meanwhile, Bala Sahib thought over again and calling Shama, asked him to accompany him. Then Shama went again to Baba and after taking his leave, started with Bala Sahib in the Tonga. They reached Chitali at 9 p.m. and encamped in the Maruti temple. The office people had not come, so they sat in the temple, talking and chit-chatting. Bala Sahib was sitting on a mat reading a newspaper. His uparani was spread across his waist and on it a snake was sitting unnoticed. It began to move with a hissing sound, which was heard by the pune. He brought a lantern, saw the snake and raised an alarm. "Serpent, serpent!" Bala Sahib was frightened and began to quiver. Shama was also stunned. Then he and the others moved quietly and took sticks and clubs in their hands. The snake got slowly down the waist and moved away from Bala Sahib, and it was immediately done to death. Thus this calamity which was prophesied by Baba was averted, and Bala Sahib's devotion to Baba was confirmed. Bapu Sahib Bhutti. A great astrologer named Nana Sahib Dingley told Bapu Sahib Bhutti, who was then in Shirdi, "Today is an inauspicious day for you. There is danger to your life." This made Bapu Sahib restless. When they as usual came to the masjid, Baba said to Bapu Sahib, "What does this Nana say? He foretells death for you. Well, you need not be afraid. Tell him. Let us see how death kills." Then later in the evening, Bapu Sahib went to his privy for easing himself, where he saw a snake. His servant saw it too and lifted a stone to strike at it. Bapu Sahib asked him to get a big stick, but before the servant returned with the stick, the snake was seen moving away and soon disappeared. Bapu Sahib remembered Baba's words of fearlessness. Amir Shakkar. Amir Shakkar was a native of the village Korhali in Kopargaon Taluka. He belonged to the butcher caste. He worked as a commission agent in Bandra and was well known there. He once suffered from rheumatism, which gave him much pain. He then remembered Allah, left his business and went to Shirdi and prayed to Baba to relieve him from his malady. Baba then stationed him in the Chavdi. The Chavdi was then a damp, unhealthy place, unfit for such a patient. Any other place in the village or Korhali itself would have been better for Amir, but Baba's word was a command, the chief medicine. Baba did not allow him to come to the masjid, but fixed him in the Chavdi every morning and evening. Every alternate day, Baba went to the Chavdi in a procession and slept there, so Amir got Baba's contact very often. Amir stayed there for 9 full months and then he got disgust for the place. So one night, he stealthily left the place and came to Kopargaon and stayed in a dharmshala. There, he saw an old dying fakir who asked him for water. Amir brought it and gave it to him. As soon as he drank it, he passed away. Now, Amir was in a fix. He thought if he went and informed the authorities, he would be held responsible for the death, as he was a first and sole informant and knew something about it. He repented for his action of leaving Shirdi without Baba's permission and then prayed to Baba. He was determined to return to Shirdi, and the same night he retreated, remembering and muttering Baba's name all the way, and reached Shirdi before daybreak and became free from anxiety. Then he lived in the Chavdi in perfect accordance with Baba's wishes and orders and got himself cured. One night it so happened that Baba cried at midnight, "Oh Abdul, some devilish creature is dashing against the side of my bed." Abdul came with a lantern, examined Baba's bed, but found nothing. Baba asked him to examine carefully all the place and began to strike the ground with his satka. Seeing this leela of Baba, Amir thought Baba might have suspected some serpent there. Amir could know by close contact with Baba the meaning of his words and actions. Baba then saw near Amir's cushion something moving. He asked Abdul to bring in the light, and when he brought it, he saw the serpent coiled up there, moving its head up and down. Thereupon, the serpent was immediately beaten to death. Thus, Baba gave timely warning and saved Amir's life. Hemad Pant, Scorpion and Serpent. At Baba's recommendation, Kaka Sahib Dikshit was daily reading the two works of Sri Eknath Maharaj, namely Bhagavat and Bhavartha Ramayana. And Hemad Pant had the good fortune to be one of the audience when the reading of the works was going on. Once, when a portion from the Ramayana relating to Hanuman's testing Rama's greatness according to his mother's instructions was being read, all the listeners were spellbound. Hemad Pant was one of them. A big scorpion, none knew where it came from, jumped and sat on the right shoulder of Hemad Pant on his uparani. First, it was not noticed, but as the Lord protects those who are intent on hearing his stories, he casually cast a glance over his right shoulder and noticed it. It was dead silent, not a bit moving here or there. It seemed as if it also enjoyed the reading. Then, by the Lord's grace, Hemad Pant, without disturbing the audience, took the two ends of his dhotar, folded them and brought them together, enclosing the scorpion within. Then he went out and threw it in the garden. On another occasion, some persons were sitting in the upper floor of Kaka Sahib's wada just before nightfall, when a serpent crept through a hole in the window frame and sat coiled up. A light was brought. Though the serpent was first dazzled, yet it sat still and moved its head up and down. Then many persons rushed there with sticks and cudgels, but as it sat in an awkward place, no blow could be dealt. But hearing the noises of men, the serpent went out hastily through the same hole. Then all the persons present there felt relieved. Baba's opinion. One devotee named Mukta Ram then said it was good that the poor creature escaped. Hemad Pant challenged him, saying that serpents should better be killed. There was a hot discussion between them, the former contending that serpents and such creatures should not be killed. The latter said they should be. As night came on, the discussion came to an end without any decision being arrived at. Next day, the question was referred to Baba, who gave a settled opinion as follows. God lives in all beings and creatures, whether they be serpents or scorpions. He is the great wire puller of the world. And all beings, serpents, scorpions, obey His command. Unless He wills it, nobody can do any harm to others. The world is all dependent on Him, and no one is independent. So we should take pity and love all creatures, leave off killings and be patient. The Lord is the protector of all. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 23. Yoga and Onion. Shama cured of snake bite. Cholera ordinance broken. Ordeal of Guru Bhakti. Preliminary. In reality, this jiva or the human soul transcends the three qualities, sattva, rajas and tamas. But being deluded by maya, he forgets his nature, which is pure consciousness, knowledge, bliss, and thinks he is the doer and thus entangles himself in endless miseries and does not know the way of deliverance. The only way of deliverance is a loving devotion towards the Guru's feet. The great player or actor, Lord Sai, has delighted his bhaktas and transformed them into himself. We regard Sai Baba as an incarnation of God for reasons already stated, but he always said he was an obedient servant of God. Though an incarnation, he showed the people the way how to behave satisfactorily and carry out the duties of their respective stations in their life. He never emulated others in any way, nor asked others to have something done for him. For him who saw the God in all movable and immovable things of this world, humility was the virtue. None he disregarded or disrespected. For he saw Narayan in all beings. He never said, "I am God," but that he was a humble servant. And he always remembered him and always uttered, "Allah Malik." We do not know the various kinds of saints, but how they behave, what they do. We only know that by God's grace they manifest themselves in this world to liberate the ignorant and bound souls. If there be any store of merits on our account, we get a desire or interest in listening to the stories and leelas of the saints. Otherwise, not. Let us now turn to the main stories of this chapter. Yoga and Onion. Once it so happened that a sadhak of yoga came to Shirdi with Nana Saheb Chandorkar. He had studied all the works in yoga, including the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, but had no practical experience. He could not concentrate his mind and attain samadhi even for a short time. He thought, if Sai Baba will be pleased with him, he will show him the way to attain samadhi for a longer time. With this object in view, he came to Shirdi, and when he went to the masjid, he saw Sai Baba eating chapati with onions. On seeing this, a thought crossed his mind. How can this man, eating stale bread with raw onion, solve my difficulties and help me? Sai Baba read his mind and said to Nana Sahib, "O Nana, he who has the power to digest onions should eat it and no one else." Hearing this remark, the yogi was wonderstruck and he fell at Baba's feet with complete surrender. With pure and open mind, he asked his difficulties and got the solution from Baba. Thus, being satisfied and happy, he left Shirdi with Baba's udi and blessings. Shama cured of snake bite. Before Hemant Pant begins a story, he says about the jiva that it can be very well compared with a parrot, and that they both are bound, the one in the body and the other in a cage. Both think that their present bound state is good for them. It is only when a helper, that is a guru, comes and by God's grace opens their eyes and liberates them from their bondage, that their eyes are opened to a greater and larger life, compared to which their former bound and limited life is nothing. In the last chapter, it was shown how Baba anticipated the calamity that was to befall on Mr. Mirikar and rescued him from it. Now, let the readers hear a story more interesting than that. Once, Shama was bitten by a poisonous snake. His little finger of the hand was stung and the poison began to spread in the body. The pain was also severe, and Shama thought he would pass away soon. His friends wanted to take him to God Vithoba, where such cases were often sent. But Shama ran to the masjid to his Vithoba, Sai Baba. When Baba saw him, he began to scold and abuse. He got enraged and said, "Oh vile Bhaturdya, do not climb up. Beware if you do so," and then roared, "Go, get away, come down." Seeing Baba thus red with wrath, Shama was greatly puzzled and disappointed. He thought that the masjid was his home and Sai Baba his sole refuge. But if he was driven away like this, where should he go? He lost all hopes of life and kept silent. After a while, when Baba became normal and calm, Shama went up and sat near him. Then Baba said to him, "Do not be afraid. Don't care at all. The merciful fakir will save you. Go and sit quiet at home. Do not go out. Believe in me and remain fearless and have no anxiety." Then he was sent home. Immediately afterwards, Baba sent Tatya Patil and Kaka Sahib Dikshit to him with instructions to the effect that he should eat what he liked, should move around in the house, but should in no case lie down and sleep. Needless to say that these instructions were acted upon and Shama got all right in a short time. The only thing to be remembered in this connection is this, the words of Baba, "Go, get away, come down," were not addressed to Shama as it apparently looked, but they were a direct order to the snake and its poison not to rise up and circulate through Shama's body. Like others well-versed in Mantra Shastra, he had not to use any incantation, charged rice or water. His words were most efficacious in saving the life of Shama. Anyone hearing the story and other similar ones will beget firm feet in the feet of Sai Baba. And the only way to cross the ocean of Maya is to remember the feet of Baba in the heart. Cholera epidemic. Once, cholera was raging in Shirdi. The residents were much frightened and they stopped all communication with the outside people. The panch of the village assembled together and decided upon two ordinances as a remedy to check and put down the epidemic. They were, no fuel cart should be allowed to come into the village. And second, no goat should be killed there. If anybody disobeyed these ordinances, they were to be fined by the village authorities and punch. Baba knew that all this was mere superstition, and therefore he cared a damn for the cholera ordinances. While the ordinances were in force, a fuel cart came there and wanted to enter the village. Everybody knew there was dearth or scarcity of fuel in the village, still the people began to drive away the fuel cart. Baba came to know of this. He came to the spot and asked the cartman to take the fuel cart to the masjid. No one dared to raise his voice against this action of Baba. He wanted fuel for his dhuni and so he purchased it. Like an Agnihotri keeping his sacred fire alive throughout his life, Baba kept his dhuni ever burning all day and night, and for this he always stocked the fuel. Baba's home, that is the masjid, was free and open to all. It had no lock and key, and some poor people removed some wood from there for their use. Baba did not grumble about this. Baba saw the whole universe was pervaded by the Almighty, and so he never bore enmity or ill will to anybody. Though perfectly detached, he behaved like an ordinary householder to set an example to the people.
Coming to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, Radio Sai now brings you a conversation with Mr. Amar Vivek, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai University. After his bachelor's in law in the Punjab University in Chandigarh, North India, Mr. Amar Vivek joined the Prashantinilam campus of the Sri Satya Sai University for his master's in business administration. He completed this post-graduation degree in 1988, and since then he has been serving as a practicing lawyer in the High Court of Punjab and Haryana, as well as in the Supreme Court of India, New Delhi. Additionally, Amar Vivek is also deeply involved in a major social service initiative in a rural area in the North Indian state of Haryana. In this conversation, he shares about the genesis, the growth, the challenges, as well as the impact of this social service initiative. With this brief introduction, over now to the conversation with Mr. Amar Vivek. Sai Ram, brother Amar Vivek, and welcome to the studios of Radio Sai. We are very happy to have you here. You were fortunate to study in Bhagwan's institution. You had the privilege to do MBA in Bhagwan's University. In fact, you are the first batch of management graduates from Bhagwan's University. Is that right?
Sai Ram, brother. I had the good fortune of being part of the first batch of the MBA program. And those loving moments which Bhagwan spent with us, they are the guiding force for throughout my life. Each thing which I do, each date which passes through, like I know tomorrow is 17th of December, and I know Bhagwan granted me interview on 17th of December 1986.
Oh my God.
So each of those moments is guiding force for me.
For every student, every day that they spend in Bhagwan's proximity is a life lesson.
Certainly, certainly. And that is how I think those moments I would certainly like to share with you and tell you how Bhagwan has been all through leading me and leading my life.
And now we are so happy that you are a practicing lawyer in the High Court of Punjab and Haryana and also in the Supreme Court of India. We would love to hear more about your student days and your moments in the university, but we will reserve that for another interview. But for today, we would like to hear something about your work. We understand that you are involved in a multidimensional rural empowerment program in remote villages in the state of Haryana. And we have heard bits and pieces about what is happening there, but there's nothing like getting it from the horse's mouth. So tell us about that story. How did all these service initiatives start? Who inspired you? And what is the miracle that is happening there?
Brother Sai Ram, this is indeed a wonderful story, and I'm so fortunate that I am a part of it. Let me very frankly and candidly tell you, this is Bhagwan's magnificent story. What all is happening in Puttaparthi, we know through you, but at far off places also, Bhagwan's miracles are happening, and this is what I am to share with you. When I was studying here, I had been conferred National Youth Award for Social Work by the Prime Minister of India in 1987. Throughout my life, when I was undertaking Satya Sai Sevadal organization activities in villages and slums, I had this cherished desire to work in villages. So I had been telling Bhagwan that even after I pass out from this place, I would like to work in village, I would like to set up a hospital, school, and a vocational center in a village.
So you mentioned this physically to Bhagwan?
I mentioned this physically to Bhagwan, and Bhagwan had been encouraging me. In fact, many a times he used to tell me that it's a laudable idea to set up this project in a village. And I was also inspired by our then warden, Shri B.N. Narasimhan Murthy Garu, and the way he had worked in Lok Seva Trust.
Setting up the institutions, Ali K, yes.
So, he was my inspiration, and Bhagwan's constant hand guided me. After I passed out from this place, Bhagwan told me that you go back to your place in Chandigarh, and that was the year 1988, and there you locate the place where you can set up this hospital, vocational center and a school. So he told me that you draw the outlines, you will find people there, and since I had interaction with several people from Government of India, in the year 1989-1990, I was sponsored by the Government of India to undergo a diploma in rural development under the aegis of Commonwealth Youth Program, Asia Center. So they conferred this diploma on me. Because I had got national award from Government of India, that is the reason they sponsored me for this diploma. So this certainly ignited this feeling in me that I should work in a systematic manner in a rural setup. So I came and sought Bhagwan's blessings from time to time, and those people who were the resource persons in that diploma program, they and many other Sai devotees and good people, they drew the outlines of a rural project with me. So I came and shared with Swami, and every time Swami used to guide me that this is how I should implement value-based things in the school, in the vocational center. And by, we prepared this project report. One day I came and told Swami, somewhere in the year 88-89.
That was like 1 year after you passed out of Swami's college.
Yes, almost after 1 year. That Swami, we need doctors. Because hospital part of the project was Greek and Rome to me. So I said, Swami, we need doctors to draw up the hospital. So Swami said, no, you will find the doctors there in Chandigarh itself. So on that trip, I was undertaking my return journey in Karnataka Express. On the way, I came across an old Sai devotee from Chandigarh. I said, sir, Swami had told me that I will find the doctors there. So he said, okay, I know one doctor couple who have returned from UK. And they are much willing to undertake all this activity. So after we reached Chandigarh, one day we fixed appointment with them and went to their house in the evening. The moment we went there, we felt as if we knew each other for ages. See, this is how I want to tell you how Swami's grace works around. Whatever I wanted to do, Swami was already leading there. He was already there. So I went and discussed with this doctor couple that we want to set up a rural project. And when I narrated all these things, they had tears in their eyes. Because in 1985, they were in Liverpool, in UK. And at that time, they had got Swami's dream that you shift to Chandigarh, I will give you a rural project.
Swami had told them.
Swami had told them. And they shifted from Liverpool to Chandigarh.
Oh.
And for last so many years, they were waiting for this project, which came to them, they say, in 1989.
Swami had already earmarked people for the project already.
And today, they are the pillars. This husband-wife couple, this gentleman is MCH in orthopedics, Dr. Vinod Singhal, and Dr. Bharti, his wife, she's a gynecologist. So, they are the ones who are sitting in this jungle. Why I call this place a jungle? For 5.5 days in a week, there is no power.
No power?
No power at all.
So almost there is no power except for one day in a week.
Yes. And one day we don't get continuously. We get some days for 4 hours, some days for 5 hours. Like that we get the power supply. And this doctor couple is sitting there in the jungle and running the whole show.
We want to know more about this show.
Yeah. So this hospital project was drawn by them. And then some other people joined us. They were engineers. They were industrialists. And by early 1990, Swami had granted us many interviews, and Swami made me speak here in Puttaparthi and in Brindavan about this proposed project. And many a times he made me speak among devotees as to how this project would be set up by one of his alumnus. So Swami used to really encourage me. And when all of us used to come, the project members, Swami would encourage us. He would give us the ideas that, number one, no donation has to be solicited. Number two, everything we do has to be totally free. Number three, we don't have to involve government in any manner. We don't have to involve politicians, bureaucrats. We don't have to take any aids from the government. So these are the broad guidelines which Swami gave from time to time. And then Swami all the time used to say that the evolution of this project is directly proportionate to your own evolution. Meaning thereby we have to evolve. He was saying that all you are doing is you are evolving yourself. Don't think that you are doing something big, you are setting up an institution, you are setting up a school. Think that Swami has given you a vehicle to evolve yourself.
That is something very profound.
Yeah. So that is how Swami used to guide us. And then in April 1990, we got ourselves registered. And the name Swami approved was Sri Satya Sai Gramin Jagriti.
Sri Satya Sai Gramin Jagriti.
Jagriti means awakening.
Awakening, yes.
So Swami used to tell us that this is how you will be doing. And he repeatedly said, Sri Satya Sai is going to do everything. I would always be your guiding force whenever you undertake this activity. I would always be there by your side.
Gramina is village, so it's village awakening.
Village
by
awakening.
By Sri Satya Sai.
By Sri Satya Sai.
Yes.
And then we came and told one Swami, that Swami, we need 27 acres of land for our project. Because based upon the outlines which we had framed, so we required 27 acres land. So Swami, very casually, very lightly, he said, very lovingly, he says, no, you don't need land. You need only my hand. If my hand is there, land would be there. So don't worry, you go and work, land would be there. So I was again undertaking this return journey in the train, same train. And I met some devotees from district Yamunanagar in Haryana. They had seen Swami talking to me the previous day in Darshan lines. And they asked me, that sir, what was Swami talking to you? So I narrated that Swami had envisioned a project, a rural project, and Swami wanted me to work in it. So they told me, sir, please come to Yamunanagar, we'll show you a piece of land there. So I told them, no, Yamunanagar is quite far, it's 110 kilometers far from Chandigarh. It will be so far, I will not be able to come and work there. Then they reminded me, they said, sir, just now you were telling that Swami is going to do everything. So then I stood corrected. I said, yes, I'm sorry. I apologized to them and I said I would be visiting Yamunanagar. No sooner did I reach Chandigarh, I got a call from them. A gentleman named Balraj Gupta ji calls me and he says, Vivek, when are you coming to Yamunanagar? So very next day, I reached there. These people received me and I stayed at Mr. Gupta's place that night. Next morning, they took me to one or two places. So when I reached this place, where now this project is located, this is known as Village Darwa. This was a magnificent natural beauty. River Yamuna's canal was flowing at a distance of barely 400 or 500 meters from our project site. And it was surrounded by beautiful row of trees. And natural beauty was at its best when we reached there. So I spoke to the villagers. Large chunk of panchayat land was available there. So I told them that we need land only for village benefit. We don't need the ownership of land. And the villagers readily agreed to donate this land.
You explained to them your project.
We explained to them that this is how the project would be set up.
At that time you had plans for a hospital?
We had the plans for all three, but we didn't know which aspect of the project would begin to start.
So you said you wanted both hospital, the
school,
the vocation,
and a vocational center.
Okay.
So the villagers donated us 27 acres land. And it's not a mere coincidence what I am going to narrate you now. I asked them what was the meaning of word darwa. So they told me that in Hindi, darad means snake holes. So because this land had lot many potholes, that is how it has been named as Darwa. So already Swami showed me his presence, because Puttaparthi and Darwa, they have the same meaning.
The earlier name of Puttaparthi was Puttavardhini, which means actually the proliferation of anthills.
Yes.
And so if you see, the meaning is same. Puttaparthi or Darwa.
So this is how Swami reminded me. And Swami guided me, Swami told us that he's already there.
So that was an invisible signal from him.
Yes. And this land was donated to us precisely on 27 July 91, which was a Guru Purnima day.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So thereafter we faced lot many challenges from government, because gift of the land was to be approved by the government. The government put its foot down. They said they would not approve the gift. Because they said, we don't know your credentials. We don't know what you will do with the land. So we had to reason out with them. We took Swami's name every time we visited them. We told them that, sir, for last 50 years, this land is lying waste. Nothing is happening. This is undulated land. So if you allow us the use of this land and see our credentials, our founding president was a brigadier from army. With all laurels, he was there. And I told them, see, I have got national award from Government of India for social work. There was a doctor couple. They had left their prime practice. They were hardly 40, 41, this doctor gentleman and his wife. And I said, they were serving. So we are a group of people. We are ready to do everything. Don't see our funds. Don't see that where is wealth with us. But see the zeal in us. So we are ready to serve, and you allow the use and keep the government nominees. So the government nominated its deputy commissioner of Yamunanagar, director panchayat, and the sarpanch as our permanent members.
In the trust.
In the trust. So they are part of us. They are seeing whatever activities we are undertaking. So annually we have to file our balance sheets, returns, reports, and the people are part of it, the government people. So in a way, everything is transparent. They are seeing whatever is happening.
So it needed quite a bit of talking and convincing.
And more than that, of course, Bhagwan's grace was there. So it was approved. And in June 1992, when we got the gift of land approved by the government of Haryana, this doctor couple who were in Chandigarh till now, the gentleman was running a nursing home. He wound up his nursing home. He sold everything. And his wife, she was serving in government hospital as a senior gynecologist. She resigned from her post. Both of them shifted to Yamunanagar town. They hired a rental accommodation there. They put a table and chair on one side, one corner of this piece of land. And they declared their hospital open in the open sky. So they started running this hospital. That is how the hospital got started in 1992.
Even the general hospital here started off in a very, very small way, like most of Swami's institutions. I think there were only one or two beds and one doctor and one nurse. The same story, but in a different setting. And the same divine working.
So, slowly we started with the hospital. The construction started around these doctors. And we had a small dispensary. Then we had a small vocational center. A swing center came for the village girls. Because, you know, during those days, our concern was, what is the requirement in the village?
Give us a little more details about the demographics of these villages.
Now, initially we catered to one village only. What we did, we went and conducted door-to-door survey in each household. We had their complete demographic profile on a card. So we had the parameters as to whether they have fan, whether they have electricity, whether they have a bike or a bicycle or whatever. So all these parameters, and whether they are having any TB patients, because we found large number of TB patients in the village. Because of maybe waterborne diseases and all that. And then we found out many household had drinking problem because their males were addicted to drinking habits. And then we found out any prenatal or antenatal cases. So now we have the complete database of each household and we have given them a card. Slowly now we are catering to three villages in the vicinity with about 2,500 families. Each household has been given a card. When they come to our hospital, they show us the card. On that basis, we treat them. So, the hospital is just having 5 beds, which are emergency for maternity wing. For remaining indoor facilities, the city hospitals, nursing homes, private nursing homes, they have donated us 20 beds round the clock.
Okay.
They say, if you recommend any patient, our doctors are competent to make a certificate, and we recommend these patients to the hospitals, city hospitals. And based upon the certificate of the doctor, of our village doctor, these city hospitals treat the patients. If our doctor says that this patient has to be treated 100% free, then 100% free facility is given to the patient. Otherwise, whatever our doctor's recommendation is, whether the hospital charges are to be waived off, or doctor's fee is to be waived off, or medicine charges are to be waived off, these city hospitals, they comply accordingly.
So you actually have a virtual hospital of almost 25 beds, right?
Yes.
Though physical beds you have five. But
five, yes. Because we are not able to run full-fledged hospital at our premises itself. Because we require blood. We require emergency services.
You say 5.5 days you don't get electricity.
Which is very tough. Air conditioning is not possible. Yeah. So many things are not possible. Similarly, we have two permanent doctors, these two gentlemen and his wife, plus many city doctors. They have lent their services to the village hospital. So they come on roster. So like Tuesdays, physician comes. Wednesdays, the person dealing with gastro problems would come. Neuro problems will be attended on another day. So these doctors, about 7 of them, they make periodic visits. I'll narrate a very beautiful incident, a very recent one. One of the doctors we required for ENT. Many throat problems we were facing. So we requested one of the city doctors that he could come and take a periodic visit to the hospital. So one day he came. We referred him our school children because we have 315 school children. So this gentleman, he saw those patients and gave his opinions and treatment. So later on we told him that, sir, can you make a weekly visit? So he told that he would charge us 10,000 rupees per month. So we told him that, sir, we could not afford that much, but we could pay him only 500 rupees per visit. But he did not agree. Next morning at 7 a.m., he calls up our village doctor, Dr. Singhal, and says, sir, please draw a roster for me. I will come every week for 2 hours. So then the doctor says, sir, how about the money? He says, no, I will not charge even a penny. You know what happened today morning? For the first time, I got a dream of Sai Baba. And Sai Baba telling me that, see, doctor, I have given you an opportunity to work in my hospital. And you have put price on that. Can't I get even 2 hours service of yours every week at my hospital, free of cost? So he says, through you, I have known Sai Baba. Through you, I got Sai Baba's dream. Now, I will be coming to your hospital every week for 2 hours without any charge.
Oh my God.
So, we gave him the roster. He came on the first day. We handed him over a list of suspected cases. And we said, sir, please examine these students. He literally tore off the list. He said, sir, I will now start from a scratch. Each of the children, right from pre-nursery class till the 10th class, and each of the villagers who comes here, he will be examined by me. One by one. So he is rendering the service like this.
As Swami said, Sri Satya Sai will take care of Brahman Jagruti. So yes, that's what is happening.
So then slowly we started this masala center for certain ladies based upon our experience in the hospital, where we found that there were certain battered ladies. Their husbands were drunkards. A need was felt that we should do something for giving meaningful employment to them. So we started this masala center. There is a town nearby from where we can buy bulk masalas.
Spices.
We bring them, we wash them and clean them at the rooftop. So to avoid adulteration of dust and all that. So there these ladies are handed over these masalas. There are about 20 of them now. So they grind them, hand grind them and pack them. And we, the trustees, their families, their acquaintances, friends, we sell these masalas. Very high quality masalas are sold to them. So, whatever income is generated out of this, this is directly credited to their bank accounts. So, these ladies are able to earn their livelihood through this masala center. And this is doing very well because, one, that we don't publicly sell it. We sell these masalas only through our private channels, private resources. And secondly, these ladies, they are directly getting the benefit out of it.
There's some kind of empowerment of these women who are actually so battered, you said.
Yes, because, you know, once they have the resources at their hand, you know, they know how to take care of their family.
Families.
And because the money is being credited to their bank accounts, so they know how to use it also.
Right. Swami is always so insistent on rural woman employment.
Yes.
And this is a project in that direction. So, were you coming to Swami frequently and updating Swami about these things?
Yes, with Bhagwan's grace, he was calling me regularly. Earlier, I used to come maybe 4 or 5 times in a year. But ever since I have been fully involved, twice or thrice in a year I have been coming. And so much so that from time to time, even if Swami didn't directly speak to me, You know, earlier days, Swami would spend hours. Swami would even make me speak about this project. But Swami used to give signals. Either he would accept letter, or he would send a nod, or he would give his ever-capturing smile.
So you always went back energized.
Yes, always went back energized. And whenever we had problems, whenever we had difficulties, Swami made sure that we sailed through those difficulties, those difficult times.
Can you give some instances?
One instance was that unfortunately for us, the villagers came to us and they said this 23rd November, that is our annual day of the school.
Mm.
So the 23rd November, we will invite the Chief Minister of Haryana to the function. So we said, no, we are not inclined to have him. They said, no, let's call him. So we acceded to the request of the villagers. We invited him and he came. So the moment he went through the whole project, he was stunned. He said, what is your selfish motive that you are running all this project?
Oh.
He says, even if you are running free, there must be some motive.
Hmm.
So we told him, sir, the motive is that we are able to serve the villagers. Then after he announced on the stage that we want to give a grant of 6 lakhs to this organization. So we very politely requested him on the stage itself, let this grant be given to the village panchayat.
Yes.
Not to us. Let village panchayat do something also for the betterment of the village. So he passed on that grant to the village panchayat. But within a few days of his leaving our place, he sent a word to us that our trust should be renamed in the name of his late father, who was even deputy prime minister of the country. So we told him, sir, it's not possible for us because we are guided by Bhagwan's principles. Therefore, we cannot name it after individuals. And barely a few days later, the gift of our land was cancelled.
Oh.
The entire gift of our land was cancelled.
Oh my God.
So then we had to file a writ petition in the High Court. We had to challenge the government order revoking the gift. And High Court quashed that order. So during this period, I know what kind of trauma and agony we went. Because now we were enjoined upon a situation where we ourselves were supposed to go to the High Court and blow our own trumpets.
Hmm.
You know, we are doing this, we are doing this. So it was a very tricky situation. You know, we are not expected to speak about our project like that. Though we are supposed to introduce as per Swami's guidelines.
Hmm.
But we can't blow our own trumpets.
Right.
So then some villagers got together. They went to the High Court. That this project is benefiting us so much. Why should it be cancelled? For 50 years the land was unutilized. The reason they cited for cancellation was that there has been so much of delay. You know, land was given to them in 92.
Mm-hmm.
From 92 till, say, 1998 till 1999, they haven't done anything.
Mm. So some stories, made up stories.
Yeah, so that is how we came out of this situation. So like this, many situations.
Mm.
But we had wonderful experiences also.
Mm.
You know, we had applied to Government of India for exemption in the income tax under Section 35AC. Which is a 100% exemption from income tax and is a very, very rare.
Hmm.
So
whoever contributes to your trust,
yes,
will get this tax exemption.
Under 35AC. Normally is 80G, but we got under 35AC. Yes. So all of a sudden we got a phone call from one retired governor of RBI. So he says, I am so and so retired governor of RBI. I need to speak to you. You have applied under 35AC. We said, yes, sir. He says, I am here in your village for last 3 days. I have already done the entire survey of the village. I have views and comments about you. So I only need to formally speak to the trustees. So we were wonderstruck. We all rushed to him where he was staying.
We didn't know that he was actually...
Yeah, we didn't know that he was already in the village with his team.
Mm.
So when we went there, he says, I have very good record about you. You people are doing wonderful work. He said, I asked the villagers that ever since this trust has come, what has happened in your village? Can you give me one instance? So he says, all people, including ladies and elders, they told us, these people have evaporated liquor from our village.
Oh.
And he said, how? I want to know from you, how? How have you done it? So then this doctor couple, they explained to them, sir, we have been talking individually to the villagers and their families. It's personal contact program. It is our sure Swami's teachings, the Swami's love which has passed on to them. We told them that this liquor is injurious. And in certain cases where people were still reluctant or people were, you know, not listening to us, we had a WHO approved medicine.
Mm.
which we took the lady into confidence and mixed in the meals of the gentleman who was drinking. So, the moment he would have liquor and thereafter have food, he would vomit. And he would have nausea, you know, he would not like to have food.
Mm-hmm.
So then he realized that perhaps something has gone wrong in my system.
Mm.
So he stopped taking liquor. Oh. In certain cases,
so even
we did
medical
that.
Methods.
Medical methods and of course, Bhagwan's love.
Of course.
Because we could not rely only on drug.
Mm.
So we had to rely on education.
Mm.
So we were ourselves wonderstruck, you know, when this assessment was given to us. And he says, I am recommending your project for approval under 35AC. And we were granted this. So such like of numerous incidents, the twists and turns, the positives, and of course the challenges, they all came through and they have been coming through.
The purpose was always sincere. So God was always there.
This is what Bhagwan was indicating. And I told you in the beginning, remember, that Bhagwan said, it is your evolution.
Right.
So I can't say how this project is benefiting, but certainly yes, our lives have changed.
And that is the aim of every service initiative that Swami always asks us to undertake. He says, never ever think that you are serving somebody else.
Yes.
You are doing it for your own selves. Earlier you mentioned about the hospital. Why don't you tell us a little more about the hospital?
You see, this hospital is designed in such a way that we have only 5 emergency maternity beds. We don't have more beds in the hospital for want of emergencies, you know, because there's no power for five and a half days in a week.
So you can't really have a full-fledged hospital.
We can't have air conditioning, we can't have blood bank.
So what do you do if you have an emergency?
People in city, there are about 10 to 12 hospitals, nursing homes in the city who have donated their 20 beds to us. Now, what our doctor once told us in the meeting, he said that we require ambulance to meet the emergencies. Sometimes, you know, because it's a hospital, late in the night an emergency comes, a patient with an accident comes. So we didn't have any facilities to cater to him. So we badly needed an ambulance. And he gave us 2 models, that we need a Maruti ambulance which costs about 1,40,000. Another was little expensive of Suraj Mazda which we did not require. So we all members were sitting in our meeting. We silently prayed to Swami for 2 minutes that Swami, please give us ambulance. And let me tell you, this is around 12 in the noon. And at 4:30, when I reached back Chandigarh from Yamunanagar, I got a call from the president of the trust that just now a gentleman has come who wanted to donate money for ambulance. And he has actually handed me over ₹1,40,000, the exact cost of the ambulance. And the very next day the ambulance was booked. So this is how Swami has been seeing through our difficulties.
Sri Satya Sai.
Yes.
Has always, he's always taking care of Gramin Jagriti.
Yes.
Yes.
And like that, we had so many instances. You know, once I remember that on 1st January 97, early in the morning, this doctor gentleman comes to me at Chandigarh. And he says, now people are asking for vibhuti instead of medicine.
Oh.
They want vibhuti from Swami. So I need 100 packets of vibhuti. This 200 grams each packet. We need 100 packets of vibhuti. So I told him, sir, I only have 1 or 2 packets in my house. I can ask a few others and maybe I'll be able to give you 5 or 7, whatever. But whenever somebody goes to Puttaparthi next, we'll get 100 packets. He says, no, no, no. And rather he jokingly told me that lawyers are in habit of giving dates. So he says, I want packets today. Mm. I don't want it on some other date. So I told him, I said, okay, I'll arrange whatever is possible. Thereafter, I left to the courts. Normally, I go to High Court. That day, I went to Chandigarh District Courts, which is adjoining Chandigarh bus stand, main bus stand. As I was parking my car, in the back view mirror, I was seeing yellow papers on the road berm behind me. Then I told myself, I said, no, no, today I am bound to see everything as vibhuti only. So I parked my car, locked it. As I was leaving, I still turned back to that side. And when I went there, I found vibhuti packets scattered on the road's berm. So one packet was there, it was open. I actually tasted vibhuti out of it. And I found it was vibhuti. It was Bhagwan's vibhuti packets, which are very distinct, very prominent.
Spread out on the road.
Spread out on the road berm, in the grass. So I immediately returned to my car. I looked for an empty envelope. I took it out. And in full public view, There was public around me when I was collecting those packets. They were wondering what has happened to this lawyer.
You were in your uniform?
I was in my uniform. Okay. I had gone to the court.
Mm.
So I was counting and putting those vibhuti packets. 99 full packets and one open packet. And I immediately rushed back to my house. I called the doctor gentleman that, sir, vibhuti has come through air courier. And he was immensely happy. Of course, I also retained some prasadam because it was a special one. And he was very happy. And thereafter, I narrated this incident to so many people, so many of my friends, my family members, others. After about 10 days, I received a gentleman. I told him about this. In the night, he called me. And he says, Vivek, you note down the address of courier. I asked him, which courier? He said, the one who brought vibhuti to you. Then I asked him, I said, how? He says, listen to this story. His brother-in-law, he is a coordinator in Shimla Samiti. He was returning from Puttaparthi on 31st December 96. So he was bringing one carton containing 100 packets of vibhuti. His bus was on the way to Shimla and it stopped at Chandigarh at around 12 in the night. So he went to make a phone call to his wife that he would be coming at around 4:30 a.m. And when he returned back to the bus, he found his carton missing containing 100 packets of vibhuti. So he was very upset. He was very sad. Whole of his journey, he was crying. He was telling Swami that where has this vibhuti gone? If some thief has taken it away, he might throw it in the dustbin or like that. But none of us knew who the actual thief was.
Hmm.
It was our, you know, Makhan Chor.
Yeah.
Because it is none other. Swami picked up that vibhuti carton and made those vibhuti packets spread in such a way at a place where I was to park my car next morning. The place is very, very busy, the Chandigarh District Court complex. But my car was parked right there where these vibhuti packets had been placed by Swami himself.
That's amazing.
And this is how Swami has been sending his signals to us from time to time, that I am taking care, I am taking complete care.
Absolutely. And you mentioned in the beginning that apart from this vocational training center and this hospital, you have started a school.
Yes.
So tell us about the story of the school. When did it start?
Now, the place where this project is located, education is a real casualty there. You know, people, they are not merely poor. They are socially, economically and intellectually poor also. As I told you, the strata is very poor. They can barely afford to send their children to school. Schools are at far-off places and more so, the villagers like their children to be engaged in either tending cows and buffaloes or taking care of their fields like that or the household chores. The girls are not sent to the school at all. So at this place, we felt that there was a crying need to start a school. So we initially started with the pre-nursery, which we named as Prem Vatika.
Garden of Love?
Yes. And we had 25 or 27 children. Where we not only introduced Bal Vikas and Education in Human Values program, but also we introduced diet supplement because we found children were undernourished. So we used to give them milk, bananas and vitamin tablets and all that. So every year from 96 onwards, we increased one class. We added one class each. This class was graduating to the next class. So by and by, this school up till 10th class was established. Now, the biggest challenge in this school has been to hire the teachers and to hire the committed teachers, I would say, because we are not paying that decent salaries. So the teachers whom we are getting are not from far off places. So for them, this is their livelihood, whatever we are giving. So their commitment for this cause is what was required. But I can safely say that Bhagwan has made that also possible. Those teachers, even though who are not highly paid, they have become totally committed to Bhagwan's values and Bhagwan's mission, even though they were not Swami's devotees. But now, on this trip, I have 12 of them accompanying the children. So this is the commitment which has come.
So how did this happen? How did this transformation in these teachers happen? Because,
of course,
that is a big challenge. For any project, you may find the money, but finding the right manpower to sustain the project is always the greater challenge.
Yes, I can still say that we are in utter shortage of manpower even today. But the fact remains these teachers have seen the change, or they have changed themselves and ourselves, because they saw genuine work taking place. You know, if I can repeat 1,000 times, do good, it may not have any influence on other person. But if I am actually doing good, I am living good, I am meaning good, I am saying good, then all this good will pass on to the other person also. So when these teachers themselves experienced the taste of divinity, because Swami's love is not something which will remain aloof to a person. A person who looks at Swami's picture also, he is looking at Swami. A person who repeats Swami's teachings and he follows them, he tries to adopt them, you know, is bound to be captured by Swami. So this is what has happened to them. They are now into Sai's mission. They are now into Sai's fold. And once they are in Sai's fold, they have realized that this is one way that they can transform themselves and they can transform the lives of the children. They see the poverty and deprivation of the children, and they see the purpose and the solemn cause for which they are working. So, ignited by Swami's teachings, now they are doing the good work. That is how it has happened. Of course, we do orient them with the training programs from time to time. We send them to certain refresher courses which are conducted by some reputed Satya Sai schools in the vicinity. But these teachers are really committed. And I have one or two examples to tell you how they are. You see, these teachers take food during recess time along with the children. So, you know, they are able to teach good manners to them. They inculcate the habit of washing their hands, you know, having the food properly. And they see whether the children are getting nutritious food and all that.
Yeah, that's very nice. Just like a parent.
Yes.
They're having food with the children.
With the children. So, the teacher was told that the child was bringing rotten chapati. It happened very recently. So, the teacher wanted to investigate the cause as to why in her tiffin she found a chapati full of fungus. So, she persuaded the child, goaded the child, you tell me the reason. So, then she found out a startling fact that the father of this child had been sentenced to life imprisonment on account of killing his wife, child's mother. And this child was 9 years old child. This child was the sole witness to this ghastly act. And on his testimony, his father was convicted to life imprisonment. So he had two more younger siblings who are also studying in our school. Now the grandparents with whom these three children are staying, they have started neglecting these children, because they feel that these children are responsible for seeing their son behind the bars. So the children are not getting proper food. They are not getting care at all. This is what the teacher discovered. And she discussed with the other teachers also. And all the teachers, voluntarily, on their own, they decided that they would be providing one day's meal, each teacher by rotation, to all the three children. Breakfast, lunch, and even for the evening snacks and dinner. So these teachers now are bringing food for these three children, and we are of course working for their uniforms and other things. But this commitment on the part of teachers, it has just touched our hearts. It is something which we could not imagine.
I think there's a very famous saying, probably it was by Gandhiji, who said, for God to be God, He should touch the heart. And that is what is happening there. Swami has touched the hearts of these teachers, and now they are transferring that love to the children. So tell us what transformation it has brought now in the children, because these children, I'm sure, need a lot of counseling, they need a lot of love, they come from such poor backgrounds, as well as very depressing circumstances. So what transformation has it brought in them? How has the school progressed?
You see, this is a very, very pertinent thing, because our aim is not merely to impart education or transfer the facts to their minds, but our aim is to take Sai education to them. And Sai education makes a person as a complete human being. So this we have witnessed, that, you know, what we did, we set several goals in front of the children. One of them was 100% attendance in the school. You know, we wanted the children not to attend 99 lectures, but 100% lectures. We initiated so many rewards and awards for the children who would have 100% attendance.
Hmm.
So this is one, because in villages,
it's quite a challenge to bring the children to
the school. And more so, it's a free school.
Right.
So the tendency is not to send the children. But then we encourage children, because of personal program, personal touch, personal contact program, that children must come to school 100%. Even if they are sick, they should come, because there is a hospital, adjoining the school. So this is one. Then in the school, we made sure that along with the education, the basic human values, they are taught to the children. Then school is over at 2 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, the children reassemble in the school for so many activities that take place right through the evening. They are Vedam recitation, Bal Vikas classes, moral education talks, film shows, slide shows, games, sports. So many things take place in the evening. And in the evening, this doctor couple and many other people voluntarily come there, including some of the teachers, and they interact with the children. We are even conducting extra coaching classes for the students who are having some problem in math, science or English because of their peculiar background. So this is how the children are seeing a change. The children themselves see a purpose. Let me share with you, one of our students, a pass out from our place, she has recently joined Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, in BSc nursing course.
Swami's Hospital.
Swami's Hospital. It's not a small thing, because a village girl to attain this is not an ordinary act. It's a very extraordinary effort. Of course, the education is totally free there, but then whatever her out-of-pocket expenses are, we are supporting her. And her parents, they are very encouraged over the idea that their daughter has joined Swami's Institution at Bangalore. So this is what is reflective of the fact that the children, they are making an extraordinary effort, and there is a change in them.
What has been the academic performance of the school?
Well, for last 7 years, the results of the three classes, especially 5th, 8th and 10th, which is board examination, they are 100%. 100% merit or 100% first class. There is not even a single second class in any of these three classes. Because the students, they see each other. They see the motive for which they are brought to the school, and that is how they are competing. Because not more than 25 or 27 students in a class. So the teacher is able to pay personal attention, teacher is able to see who are the weak students, and we make sure that the weak students are given extra coaching or all that. And that is how we work with them one to one. Therefore, we have these excellent results.
So it's one of the best schools there.
Yes, in the district, this is one of the best schools, even in sports. We have won prizes at the state level.
Oh.
Yes, sports, cultural activities, yoga, in all fields.
That's really remarkable. Here is a school in a very, very remote corner, completely free, catering to absolutely poor children, and now they are one of the best schools in the district.
This has happened with Bhagwan's grace again.
Now I want to ask you something very different. Given that all this effort needs so much of resources, so much of time, so much of coordination, so much of risk-taking, were there times when you felt very lonely, when you felt very depressed, when you thought, did I take the right decision? I'm into so many things. Can I really handle it?
You see, it has been a challenge, no doubt. But let me tell you, I have never felt lonely. I have not felt depressed also. I can say with utter confidence, for two reasons. One is, whenever I was in difficulty, I looked at Swami. And Swami instantly sent the solution. And second, whenever I was troubled, I looked at the doctor couple. Doctor couple were at the pinnacle of their career. The gentleman is MCH in orthopedics. The wife is a gynecologist. They could have minted crores of rupees in a matter of few months. But they sacrificed their complete career. And they are sitting in the jungle. And if I see their life, let me very candidly tell you that some of the villagers, they regard them as Sai Baba himself. Because they say, we haven't seen Sai Baba, we are seeing you. So you are Sai messengers to us. And the way they interact with children, with the villagers, it's exemplary. So whenever I am in difficulty, I look at them. I see how they are leading their life. they have made adversity their companion. So there is nothing like adversity with them. So if that is the example in front of us, then I can safely tell you that I have never felt lonely or depressed. I always get encouragement, and whenever, you know, testing or trying times come to us, some or the other message of Bhagwan or some or the other miracle of Bhagwan travels down and it enlivens us. Once again we get re-energized.
So you have been inspired, of course, by Swami, and now you have the Swami's messengers there, these doctor couple doing this wonderful work. Now, are there people inspired by all these initiatives of this trust? Do you think society is actually taking notice of what you do? What is the reaction from your peers, from the other members in the society, people who matter? Do you think they see the value of what you're doing?
You see, during my initial days, it was a kind of struggle because I was a beginner in legal profession. And this project was also in infancy stage. So I had to devote a lot of time over there in the project and also in my profession. So it was a tough ask, to tell you the truth. But Bhagwan made sure. One is that he gave enough confidence in me that come what may, even if I spend a day in a week in the village, my legal profession would not suffer in any manner. So by and by people know this, that you know, I am associated with a rural project. So the judges know it, my companions know it, my colleagues know it, even though some of them must be, you know, laughing at me, but with Bhagwan's grace I remain unaffected by them. But yes, people have started noticing it. Recently, you know, in the year 2006, 100 children of our project, they were invited by Dr. Abdul Kalam, the then president, to Rashtrapati Bhavan.
President of India?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, he had this knack of keeping a network of all the good schools.
So, your school was in the president's list?
Yes. So, he had allocated 20 minutes to our children. So, when we reached there with the children, of course, we were given a very warm welcome. The children were given a treat in president's dining hall. There were more than 40 dishes.
Oh.
Actually, more than 40 dishes for the children. There were South Indian, North Indian dishes, everything was available. So they were given sumptuous diet, and later on we assembled for president's meet in his chambers. Now we were given a list of do's and don'ts, that when you go there, you don't have to take Swami's name, and you don't have to talk about religion, you don't have to talk about things like that. So the moment we reached in the chambers of the president and he came, he asked, what is the name of the school? Sir, we replied, sir, it is Sri Satya Sai Gramin Jagriti. So he says, oh, so Sri Satya Sai inspires you. Then he took out a picture of Swami from his shirt's pocket and showed it to us. He says, Swami inspires me as well.
Oh my God.
So he says, one he inspires you, inspires me as well. So Swami is the common factor. And then he asked us, he said, how do you begin your school? So we told him, sir, we begin our school with Vedam recitation. So he says, okay, begin with Vedam recitation. Then we had 5 minutes Vedam chanting before him. And later he even asked the children meanings of the words. And he was very happy. He said that not merely you know Vedas, you chant Vedas, but also you know the meanings. I am very happy to know this. And then he spent 1.5 hours with the children instead of 20 minutes. He interacted with them. And later on he gave exclusive interviews at so many places describing that meeting the children of our school was his life's golden moment. And even in his farewell speech to nation, his thanksgiving address on 24 July 2007, he made a special mention of our school, saying that one of the most significant events in his tenure as President of India was the meeting of these children with the President. So this is not an ordinary honor for us. It's a very big thing that the President of India remembers us. He still interacts with the children. The children do send him mails. They do send him Rakhi or birthday wishes on his birthday, and he very warmly responds to them.
Absolutely incredible. All this work that you narrated is only a testimony to the fact that any good work, Swami says, is God's work. And if you have the passion to do good work, you don't have to worry about anything else. He'll make the dirt a diamond. He'll make the dust a diamond. And that's what we see.
No, surely it is Swami's show. Had it been any individual show, perhaps the kind of challenges which we have faced, this would be nowhere. But for the fact that it is Swami's mission, you know, it would not have stood this far.
Absolutely. It is his plan. He is the director, he is the initiator, he is the director, and he is the one who is sustaining the project. And since we know that we are the instruments, the project is going on well.
And many a times, you know, people have given us suggestions that why are you running it free? You know, you are providing free education, you are providing free medical help, you are providing free assistance. You should charge at least something. We have always negated those suggestions. Because we are firm believers of the fact that once Swami has told that you have to run it free, there is a significant purpose in it.
Right. And if you do it the way he wants it, he will take care.
He will take care of it. That Absolutely. Is what he is doing.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you so much, Amar Vivek brother. It was absolutely enlightening listening to you. And I hope this message of selfless service, of service with passion, reaches out to as many people as possible. Because that is what is the summum bonum of even Swami's life. That is the essence of what Swami has done all these years. And here, in this project, we see a small manifestation of that divine will, of that sincerity of purpose. And we just hope that, you know, this small candle lights up in so many different places so that this flame of pure love sometime envelops the entire world.
Certainly, brother, I do believe that if we literally believe Swami's words, unmindful of the consequences, I am sure that Swami is going to take over. And this is what he has been doing. So even though whatever we are doing is a very small example of service, at least I have the satisfaction that I am walking on Swami's principles and Swami is sustaining me.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, you just heard a conversation with Mr. Amar Vivek, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, and in conversation with him was Radio Sai's Biju Prushti. Dear listener, you could email us your feedback as always to listener@radiosai.org. You could also WhatsApp us to this number 9393258258. With this, we come to the end of this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Radio Sai. It's me, Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai. At 11:30, Bishu will join you with a segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram.